You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really need a word, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the war, and I'd like to give the information, asking for more word blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two, and this is indeed the Common Sense Show. I'm your host, Dave Hodges, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Although we're not inviting everybody to the party, there are some people who've invited themselves to the party, and we're still waiting on Joe Hagman's two emails. And you guys in the audience, you're funny. You guys are a crack up. I'm getting emails here. Dave, are you getting this? Are you getting this? If I say I'm Joe Hagman, it probably won't go through. I got them. I got all your emails, but Joe's two emails. And welcome, NSA. NSA, how do you go home and face your kids at night? Do you take a pill that makes you forget everything you do during the day? You must. Anyway, this hour is brought to you by Numana Foods. And Numana Foods is the very best in storable food. Find out why. And I can tell you one reason why. Mike Adams did a comparison test, and he is the health ranger. And he said Numana has no equal in any category. That's why I represent them. And really, everyone needs storable food. So get the peace of mind that comes knowing that you've prepared your family to the best of your ability. Go to numana.com/Hodges and use the promo code Hodges, NOV5. And you heard during the break we come on with Ronnie McMullen, who's a great interview. He used to be a terrific talk show host. He should get back to it because he's really good at it. But he might even be a little better at helping people get healthy. And you heard GetTheTea.com ad. Yeah, I encourage that. Go to GetTheTea.com and make sure you tell him Dave Hodges sent you. Ronnie, great, great guy, and really one of the best interviews we do. He's terrific. And then again, I just wanted to mention, please, 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 all the signs are there. Stock market, 1929, banks, going to get a haircut, or they're going to take it all. Don't leave all your cash in the bank. And if you got significant money, call my friend Steve Quayle and convert your soon-to-be worthless cash into precious metals, and then hide them. Bury them where no one will find them but you. Make sure you mark it, though, so you don't lose it. Call Steve Quayle tomorrow, 406-586-4842. Again, that's 406-586-4842. Stay tuned for the third hour, too. We're going to have Bob Griswold from Ready Made Resources coming up. We're going to be talking about the crises that are flowing across America, what's coming, and boy, there's a lot. So if you're not prepped, fully prepped, gold, guns, food, water, ammo, and medicine, you're going to want to hear Bob in the third hour and what he has to say. Well, this hour, I invited, so I'm not in the plural, I don't have multiple personality disorder, so I invited members of the state of Jefferson to come on my show during this time frame, and I published the invitation in multiple locations. The original invite went to a guy by the name of Baird, B-A-I-R-D, and he's been writing me not flattering stuff. And I said, you, somebody else, come on my show. I'll give you the first half of the show to tell your side of things, and then I'll have a fact checker come on named Paul Preston, and we'll look at this. Folks, this is serious, but we're going to wait for a second here for them to call in. What sound do crickets make? Oh, that's right, they chirp. I'm hearing chirping, but I'm not hearing the phone ring. SOJ51, sorry, you had your chance. I give equal time on this show, and you blew it. You could even have suggested a pre-record. We could have done anything to accommodate your schedule. But nonetheless, you are out to lunch. You have been branded to avoid confrontation. you don't want to hear the truth because I think you've got a lot to hide from the truth. And let me say this as a preface before we go to Paul Preston from Agenda 21 Radio. This isn't just about California and turmoil in California and maybe the creation of a 51st state or maybe the breakaway of California under the UN. This is the first step in breaking up the entire country. This is why this is important. This is step one. If you're defending a beachhead and here comes the enemy and their ships, it's best if you keep them off the beachhead. Don't let them get on. Well, that's what we're trying to do here in California. This affects all of us. California is responsible for, what, about 25% of our retail. There'll be famines if their agriculture didn't go out. It'd be absolutely horrendous. And here to talk to us about it, as I just mentioned, is Paul Preston. His website is agenda21radio.news. Paul, did I say that right, my friend?
Yes, you did.
Okay, I just had a brain aneurysm there, and I just went in a different direction. But anyway, Paul, welcome to the show. The other side has been given their chance to draw first blood, and they chose not to take advantage of that well-publicized invitation. So, Paul, I guess I'll have to be your fact-checker. So, yeah, I know, the fox is guarding the hen house. But, but anyway, Paul, do you agree with my statement? This is just the first step towards breaking up the entire country of a George Soros movement.
Absolutely. This is. This is the most visible step towards that eventuality, at least in their mind, and we are basically the beachhead, and we've got to defend it.
Well, let's start defending. Where do you want to start?
Oh, just whatever you want to talk about. I'm wide open and more than happy to talk about whatever needs to be talked about here.
Okay, I'm going to give you a little blurb here, and then I'll let you just run with it wherever you want. The state of Jefferson is a legitimate movement. I interviewed ranchers like Bar Peterson prior to anyone ever heard of the state of Jefferson because there was no such movement when I knew Barb. And we're looking at a situation where the ranchers and farmers there are getting destroyed by ridiculous EPA and BLM policies, and the federal government has abused these poor people. There's no support from the state of California. So the only way that these good people thought they could defend themselves is to create a 51st state but still stay in the union, be loyal to the Constitution. So good people in Southern Oregon and Northern California have been engaged in that movement. The opposite movement, and you can't have both at the same time, is CalExit. And CalExit is about leaving the country entirely and basically becoming a protectorate of the United Nations. And out of the State of Jefferson movement, we now see a bifurcation where there's a group with people like Baird and other people that we'll mention here who are, in my opinion, trying to destroy the State of Jefferson movement so CalExit can succeed and we have found George Soros' involvement. Okay, so having said that intro and people are now caught up, where do you want to go?
Well, we can start with the Jefferson movement. As I know it, I was a part of the Jefferson movement for several years, about three and a half, four years ago. And at that time, it was being touted as a state movement, a state, you know, we're going to create a new state and all that stuff. And everybody, like you said, all the ranchers and people that have been affected by the state government here. And I want to reiterate something that people need to understand, that the fight here in California is not against Donald Trump. It is not against the federal government per se. The vast majority of egregious acts and taxes and regulations are being foisted upon Californians by Jerry Brown and the democratically controlled state legislature in Sacramento. There is no difference between King George III and Jerry Brown at this point, and which is, of course, caused the Revolutionary War. And we are in exactly the same kind of position now. You've got this positioning here. Everybody's trying to blame Trump. They're now calling him a racist. And, of course, that is a key issue for these people, either in CalExit, but certainly in the CalExit program, to say that we want to break away. California wants to break away from an oppressive government. And, of course, the oppression is not from the federal government per se. Now, there is the BLM issue and that, but, you know, once we regain our state, a state will take care of a new state in which you won't have collusion with state government offices and the federal government, which has long been something that the needs to be addressed, and Donald Trump is a pledge to address it. He gets it. He gets what's going on with that type of oppression. But the reason why Californians want to form a new state, and I say that collectively because the movement is a strong one to get California away from Sacramento, not Washington, D.C. And, of course, if you're a business person, it makes a lot of sense. You'd like to keep your business in California, or at least in the boundaries of the confines of a new state, away from the regulations of what you have, the overburden of the taxes and so on. California is 50th in the United States in business friendliness. That is not a problem of the federal government. That is the problem of a totalitarian dictatorship that we have right now by a tyrant by the name of Jerry Brown. So I want to make it very, very clear that this movement, this statewide movement, either from Jefferson or from the New State movement, is against Jerry Brown. He is a tyrant, every bit as a tyrant as Adolf Hitler, as Joseph Stalin, as Mao Zedong. The violent part of Jerry Brown and his little movement here, which is a totalitarian movement, has not happened yet, but I can tell you, rest assured, they are planning for violence in the street in California. And we recognize that. We understand it. We get it. We've had witnesses who have come forward at Tea Party meetings, who have been in meetings, and I've talked to them, I've debriefed them, I spent hours with some of these people, listen to the tapes that these people have put out about taking violence against white people, which is kind of interesting, especially since we've had this whole new rise of anti-whiteness, basically, over the last 24 to 48 hours. But, you know, they actually say that, and, of course, that's all coming from La Raza and Mecha and, of course, all these communist organizations spawning themselves out of Mexico and working hand-in-hand with Jerry Brown and many of these state legislators. It is a deplorable situation in California, and the only way to solve it is to make a new state so we have our own sovereignty back.
Okay, and I get that, and I've got that for a long time. I have been an advocate for the State of Jefferson movement. I wouldn't want to be part of anything coming out of Sacramento and the California Assembly either. So it's a well-intentioned movement, but someone took a wrong turn,
right,
or someone got their movement hijacked. Let's talk about that.
I think that that's exactly right, and this has been something that we've been witnessing across the nation, the hijacking and the destruction of tea parties out there. And this first came to my attention about 2011. I do my shows on Red State Talk Radio, as our listeners are listening right now. And the situation...
Quiet!
Excuse me.
Okay.
Sorry about that. I had to get the dog.
I'm quiet.
You be quiet. Anyway, what we had, the situation was that the owner of Red State Talk Radio back then, who since passed away, was complaining to me about what was going on about the tea parties in Cleveland, Tennessee, and about how that they were getting people that were coming in and basically destroying the tea parties. And he walked me through the whole thing, and of course we started to do some research, and we started to figure out that this was a George Soros operation. We warned people as much as possible, but the tea parties throughout the nation have been really taking a big hit since around that time. And of course, when you start looking at and backtracking where the money comes from the various nonprofits, it's George Soros related. And this movement, the problem with the Jefferson movement, and especially what I was being told at the very beginning, almost 4 years ago, that this is a state movement. We're going to get statehood. We're going to work towards statehood. We're going to be, you know, and so I picked up on that, and I preached it, I touted it, and so on, and I thought this is a marvelous way this is what has to happen in California. You need to have your own state, and you need to be sovereign, and you need to be able to run and conduct your state businesses, and there was a process. The Constitution's pretty clear on that. And so I was all in on this. I was doing everything on my radio show. I was making radio shows. I was doing all kinds of things to hype this sort of thing going on. But then it started to drag on. You'd have meetings. You'd have meetings. I set up a couple of the county committees, actually, and I set up a couple of big affairs with the Jefferson and hoped that somehow there would be a discussion that would be spawned from the so-called leadership, that there's really going to be meetings that are going to be fruitful meetings, other than for meetings that are now starting this whisper campaign of a lawsuit. We're going to do a lawsuit. And I sat there and I thought, I took the bait originally, and then I said to myself after a while, so how does the judicial system form a new state? Well, it doesn't. And so I started talking to constitutional attorneys, and I recognized that this has never happened. Constitutional attorneys said it will not happen. And then all of a sudden the narrative started to change. Well, we can get a state if we run through this whole representation business and super representation and then negotiate with the state for the state of California for a new state. And I thought, that doesn't sound even remotely possible. But that was the narrative that came out. And, of course, this is over time. So there's fundraising going on, and there's, you know, different things going on in various committees and organizations out there, and they're trying to now make a transition to getting a legal fund together so that they can have money to sue the state and then to go on and form a new state, which made absolutely very little sense to anybody in the legal communities. But, you know, that was the process that was sold to everybody. But all along, you know, you're now into this 3 years, and you really have not taken one step towards statehood that legitimately needs to be taken. And so that was when I started to say, wait a minute, you know, there's some issues going on. I need some answers. And I'll tell you a reason why I was putting things out on the radio, and then I'm getting calls from people, and they're talking to me about, hey, this isn't going to go anywhere. We know this is just a game. All it is people selling clothes. It's people fundraising, and it's a scam. And I defended it for months. I said, no, it's not anything like that. And, of course, when I started asking questions, I found from leadership I was getting yelled at. Well, first of all, you don't yell at me. You just don't. And you leaders at Jefferson, you don't yell at me. You don't yell and scream at people that legitimately ask you honest questions about the movement. And therein, when I saw some of the and heard about some of the verbal abuse that people within the Jefferson meeting movement were taking from some of the leadership, the top leadership up there, I said, no, this is not going to happen on my watch. And that's when I stepped up. And of course, they couldn't answer the question about their financials. They couldn't prove to me their financial stability. That was over a year ago. Or their situation, that was very protected and very secret. And I've learned dealing in schools and various nonprofits, when you start doing that kind of stuff, there's questions that need to be asked. And I wasn't going to ask. I just said, I'm done, especially after several exchanges of being verbally abused. And then, you know, I kept hearing these things about people verbally abused. And then I started getting calls from other counties and people out there in other parts of the state talking, even Southern California, talking about the way that they were being approached and put demands on. And I said, this is just not for me. I backed away. And then I got a call from several people that were basically exiles, and these are people that are not even involved in the current CCR, but they're saying, we need a new state. And Paul, if you are one of the people that walks away and you have other people walk with them, we don't have any kind of initiative for a state. And I really contemplated it for a long time, and I said, you know, I've really got other things I got to do. And then I finally realized I need to help as best I can, which means that I'm not really willing and want to help the people, especially after the excoriation that the demonstration of the pure viciousness of these people in the leadership position.
Yeah. Paul, let me jump in here and say this. I want to say this because I know you'll never say it. I'm still outraged by what I heard, excuse me, on KCNR radio. I'm still disgusted by it. If I'm not mistaken, wasn't it Baird and Raposa that were on that show? Is that correct?
Fake news, that's us.
Yeah, there you go. And, well, forget the insults of fake news and all the insults they gave me and called me an idiot and everything else. What they said towards the end was, how dare Paul Preston do this? And I'm paraphrasing now, but essentially they were saying, and Paul, of course, you know, it's not a secret, he had a very serious bout with cancer, very serious.
Right.
And they said, how dare he do this? We even drove him to his cancer appointments. How could he do that to us? Paul, did any of these people ever drive you to these appointments?
Never.
How dare they act that way? Just quick curiosity. We know their show did not air last Sunday. Did their show air this Sunday? Do you know?
Yeah, it aired. It just didn't record last Sunday from what I was.
Because
but apparently it did.
If I were the owner of KCNR and I heard someone attacking someone on this level, That would be their last broadcast. Classless, just total debauchery of the human condition. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. And here, even despite all that, and they call me an idiot, they lie about you and helping you with your condition, and they still didn't have the intestinal fortitude to come on this show and face the music. Okay, Paul, go ahead.
Well, you know, and again, my comments are being directed at the leadership. The way that they've comported themselves, handled themselves, and behaved is just so egregious that you have to question, nobody in leadership like this is going to survive for long. And clearly their ability to communicate and articulate the message of a new state is absolutely tremendously hindered. And right now, their credibility with the state legislature, of course, is absolutely zero. If they want to bring something forth in a legal way to actually properly form a new state, their credibility is absolutely zero. And because of the abuse that many of the people down there in the state capital have taken at the hands of several of their leaders, I mean, verbal, physical abuse, secret, hidden cameras and things like that with the office staff, which is illegal in California. You know, that sort of thing. They have zero credibility there. And, you know, my point to all the good Jefferson people, because look at, I've met with hundreds of Jefferson people. They are fantastic. They're committed. They want a new state and they deserve it. And they deserve the right track to get on a new state and not to be lied to anymore. And that's exactly what these people have done. They have repeatedly lied over years about their intentions and how to get there. They've refused help. They actually refused $700,000 from a donor that was asking a simple question. The donor was going to get the money from other organizations that are businesses that are really interested, that really want a new state, excited about it, and the individual just asked the questions, just show us some documentation about proof of who you are as the movement. You know, that's all we need. And they were yelled at. They were scorned in a phone call from the Jefferson leadership. I just can't believe it. It's outrageous. And this person, to this day, every time I hear from him, that's the first thing he brings up, is how he can't believe how the Jefferson leadership turned down $700,000. And that was over a month and a half ago. He said he was stunned. He's shocked. And, of course, getting people to reengage now at that level, which is that's a lot of money in the Jefferson movement, is very, very difficult. And this is what I'm saying. The leadership of the Jefferson movement is the part that's the big problem. And it's a major problem, the way that they handle themselves, comport themselves, and attack people viciously for no reason whatsoever, oftentimes. People who want to help them. That's the odd thing. That's the strange thing. They want to give them money, and they want to help them, yet they don't want any of that, and they yell and scream at them to get rid of them. It's amazing.
Yeah, I know. You sent me that one video. I haven't aired it because it was a one-sided taping, and I don't want to facilitate the breaking of California law because we know how those people are. Anyway,
right.
I want to take a side turn now because not only are they not acting in the interest, best interest of the people in what would be the state of Jefferson, and they're going down this path of folly, wasting resources on a lawsuit that will not result in statehood, but they have their confederates are associated with a really unsavory character and his elements. Let's talk about that.
You must be talking about George Soros.
Who else?
Yeah, and you know, lo and behold, and as I was going through all this and really pulling away, then I'm starting to get emails from people. I'm just doing my job in the normal radio business. And you know, Dave, you and I have been on air together before. I've never met you. We're friends on the radio, I guess. But you know, the bottom line is we share a common goal with a lot of things and common stories, and that's why we swapped different information, especially about Oroville Dam and some of the deep state stuff, which is, you know, unrelated to all this. Well, it's actually related, but in the same respect, it never came to this level. So, in the normal course of just doing, you know, stories, you get all kinds of information. All pretty soon, they start relating back to the deep state, and that's what we were getting with George Soros and the Jefferson movement, as certain people started to affiliate themselves, just writing stories in the San Francisco Chronicle. I mean, it was just so flippin' obvious.
And pictures, it, pictures,
and pictures, yeah,
pictures,
and
yeah,
so,
and tweets,
know, pictures, tweets. I'm sure
Eric
there's emails.
Eisen- Remember Eric Eisenhammer? He's at Dauntless Communications. They do the SOJ website, and he promotes SOJ stuff. And he was at a meeting with Joan Blades, right, in the living room, and she's the founder of MoveOn.org, George Soros' organization. Oh, I love that discovery you made, Paul. That was darn good work.
I didn't make it. It was sent to me. It appeared in January. I never even saw it. And then I got an email from one of my listeners that saw it, was outraged, and said, "Have you seen it?" I hadn't seen it. And so that, you know, to me, a story that's buried back that's done in January, well, the world does know about it. You know, I just didn't know about it until later, but it just confirmed a lot of my suspicions about what was going on. When you have these kind of linkings, Dave, and you know, it doesn't get any stronger than that. And plus, there's other people that have come out and given us information about the connection there. It's, you know, you soon realize that the linkage there is absolutely pretty solid. And now they might declare that it's not, and we understand that, but when you have those kind of by-the-by communications and those people are now working in your organization, that might be called a clue that there might be a connection. Very strong one, actually.
I think it's gone beyond might be. To me, when I saw Eisenhammer's tweet, she has the right to send, when I saw that picture, when I have experienced these extreme denials in the face of overwhelming evidence, I know all I need to know.
Right.
You know, and the other thing, too, rather than, you know, reach out to me and say, "Dave, you're misguided on this. Let's talk about this." No, you go on the air and call me an idiot and lie about Paul's cancer condition. You know, that's, to me, emblematic of people who have something to hide.
Yeah, that's then of course the yelling and screaming and that's a tactic to try and throw you off. But you know, you and I are former school administrators. We get that routine. The more you yell and scream, it's kind of like they'll protest too much. That's really what it comes. And I just don't understand. I really, Dave, I don't understand because you've been involved with fundraising for years, and I have too. And someone comes to you with a big chunk of money and says, "Look, I want to help out. Here's $700,000." Well, you and I would have just passed out at that. But, that's not the case here. So you kind of sit there and say, and I understand they have a 501c4 and they're not, they don't have to show who their donors are. That's not the question. It's called just show us a balance sheet, show that you're functional, show us your letters of incorporation, your documents for incorporation, EIN number, all that stuff. Just show us the basics. That's really what they wanted. And they couldn't even do that. And I know they purportedly have them. It's all on their website. Fine. That's an even bigger mystery. Why they didn't want that money?
Because someone was demanding accountability. That would be my
guess.
Right.
That's always the case in these situations.
Well, I've got to say it, Paul, because I'm your fact checker right now, because they wouldn't come on. But back to this whole thing, though. And I want to mention this just as an aside. Washington, Oregon, Cascadia Province, new province for Canada, proposal. I wrote an article on this a week ago, 23 bona fide secessionist movements where I found George Soros involvement. And there's more than that, but that's what I found George Soros in. And this is huge because the state of Jefferson flies in opposition to Calexit. You can't create the 51st state and have California leave the country. So let's talk about where Calexit comes into all this and George Soros.
Well, George Soros is a major funder. That's been pretty well documented for Calexit, and Ryoichi Sasakara was another one. And they're really friendly with, of course, the Brown family. This is all about Jerry Brown being El Presidente, as I call it. I've been saying that now for years. I called Jerry Brown El Presidente because that's the way he acts. He's acting like a dictator, actually, and no one's stopping him. And this is the bigger clue that Calexit comes up. Now, when Calexit came up, this is at the beginning, because this is now Calexit point deux, the second time around for them. The first time around, I called Jerry Brown's office and requested that Jerry Brown, if he's going to make a statement, make it. What is this statement about Calexit? Because it's clear sedition. And, you know, that put him on the spot, because if he's going to come out and say that he doesn't support it, great. That's exactly the answer. Because as a sitting governor, he can't say that I support CalExit because that's sedition. Well, he can give another answer, and that's no answer. And the way I look at it, a no answer is just as much an affirmative as it is a negative if he was to say no. And he's never said, and I've asked numerous times, I got an email at one point because I was calling the office. They said, Jerry Brown is not going to answer that question at this time on the email.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so that, see, to me, in my mind, that's sedition. And for those of you that don't know what sedition is, that's a traitorous act in the United States and against the Constitution. But if you hear these people talk from the CalExit movement, you heard Tucker Carlson the other night, I'm sure everybody's played that, but they are ignoring American law. They're telling you that. And they're telling you they want to get the middle class out of California so they can replace the middle class with immigrants from Central and South America and all around the world. That's their
game.
That's
that,
their goal.
They said that on Carlson, Tucker Carlson. I heard that. I heard the interview.
Right.
Heard
and
it live.
I
looked at my wife. I said, did you just hear that? They want the middle class to leave, and they want to replace them with poor immigrants from Central and South America. I couldn't believe they said
it. And the mechanism for getting the middle class out has been over-regulation and over-taxation. And, I mean, changing the schools around, the school system around. You know, see, one of the things that they've done in California, like with postgraduate work, well, first of all, they've destroyed the public education system. They've taken away all the shop classes. Anything you can do to make with your hands, they've destroyed. Everything is social justice type of programs now. So real science suffers. Your English language, of course, English language, they just passed Prop 54, which means that Prop 227, which was passed in 1998 by the state of California, which requires high school students to graduate with certain English proficiency. Well, they just want bilingual education, so they passed by a 72 to whatever margin, Prop 54, it's either 54 or 58, I think it's 54, will go into effect, which means they're bringing back bilingual education, and there's no more mandate for English language proficiency at the high school level when they graduate. So they're trying to do what they've been saying through La Raza and other people over the last 30, 40, 50 years to make California a Spanish-speaking state. In fact, one of the things that they've been touting for the city of Los Angeles for their Olympics is that they want everybody to come to the northernmost capital, Spanish-speaking capital in North America, Los Angeles, for the Olympic Games. That's one of their slogans.
Did you hear the noise I made in the background? I tried to muffle it. I did. I honestly tried to muffle it. Unflipping believable.
Yeah.
You know, Paul, when we were growing up and learned about the Constitution and took our place, you know, among the other adults as young men, did you ever think we'd ever see anything like this nonsense?
Well, you know, I said about 20 years ago that I could see it coming and happening, and I really made a commitment to try and stifle it because I was, you know, in the field working as an assistant principal and principal, and I could see this whole, in Southern California schools, I could see this whole La Raza thing coming and working in tandem and coordination with the gangs and the cartels and, of course, the marijuana linkage and all that good stuff. And then when Brown got reelected, and of course, that's another hoodwink as well. Jerry Brown was elected back in the 70s, and I think he went through 84, 8 years as governor. He was a wacko environmentalist. He just about destroyed the California economy back then. He wanted to tear down dams, not build dams. He wanted to depopulate California because that time we had 19 million people. Now, Jerry Brown gets reelected for a third term. And everybody says, well, I thought our Constitution said you can only go for two terms. It did. But they brought in what's called term limits in 1990. And in 1992 or 3, maybe 1994, they brought in term limits. And they said in the term limits that for a governor, that no governor can serve more than two terms if they've been a governor after 1994. So Jerry Brown, he was a governor. The last time he was governor was 1984, so he automatically qualified. So back in 2010, guess what? Jerry Brown reappears. He resurfaces. That's he hoodwinked the whole system.
Wow. Just amazing how they just... They're like bad colds that won't go away,
right,
or turds,
right,
that won't flush in the toilet.
Right.
These people are just so despicable that we can't,
right,
get rid of them. And then they manage to convince grassroots people to join this nonsense. I mean, do you think this is a fair statement? Because from where I sit, if this SOJ 51 movement, if they succeed in going through with this lawsuit and they dominate the Jefferson movement, the Jefferson movement is over as far as being a state. Do you agree with that statement?
I would say the probability is very, very high that to happen, yeah. I do. I think it's at this point in time, you know, unless there's going to be some miracle, that is what's going to happen. It's going to continue to draw assets and money and energy from any state. Now, it's kind of interesting since we've had a big brouhaha on the 29th and so on, all of a sudden they're excited about having a constitutional convention. They're doing this, they're doing that, they're moving towards setting up a process for statehood. Really? Well, you know, that's fine. They had this opportunity in July of 2016 as well, but they blew it. They had over 800 people at a meeting, an assembly, as we called it, and they turned that completely off. It was a mechanism at assembly to set up the infrastructure so that you could have a constitutional convention, so that you could set up your constitution, do all the things, and set up your departments and all that stuff. And everybody did it. It was amazing. It was a wonderful thing to see with the Jefferson people working together to actually do that. And it could have happened. But they got their marching orders from leadership after the second assembly in Reading, and they were told by leadership that there would be no more committees. The committees were over. They're done. That's it. No more. We're concentrating on the lawsuit. And they were very, very mean to people about that. And they alienated a lot of people that were in the Jefferson movement. And I talked to a lot of those people. A lot of those people came forward and said, Paul, you've got to do something about this. You've got to reunite, do something we can do to actually form a new state. And so I reluctantly did because I just didn't want to deal with those people. So, and again, the Jefferson people that are working so hard in their counties and want this to happen, we all want it to happen. But I'll tell you, we've got some real impediments in there that aren't going to get, on one side, they're not going to get you a state. They're going to bleed you dry, basically. And on the other side, we're working hard to actually form a new state. And we're all working together. We want to all work together.
Excuse me, I need to make a wardrobe change here, so bear with me a minute. Okay, getting done. I'm putting on my tinfoil hat.
Oh,
this is in preparation for my next question, okay? So I had to make sure I was fully garbed to be the conspiracy theorist that I am, and we all know there's no such thing as a conspiracy. But we've got Calexit on one hand, backed by Soros, and one half of the Jefferson movement backed by Soros. He's betting on both sides. And then you have this little thing out there called the Oroville Dam.
Yeah.
I got my conspiracy hat on now so I can ask the question. If the dam breaks by accident, who does that help and how will this play out?
Well, it would help, obviously, in my opinion, it would probably help the Calexit people. And it would be quite a disaster, as you know. We've talked about this before. The key thing in this disaster is it's going to kill, you know, at least a million, maybe more people when it happens. And hopefully we got enough warning out there. Now we got a system kind of in place to early warn people. But the other part of it is the famine, the destruction of the rice fields around here. Second or third largest producing area in the world for rice. We're also the largest producer of queen honeybees for the world here. For the world. They ship honeybees daily all around the world, you know, for agricultural reasons. So this is a pretty important place, and to wipe it out with a dam that would come down possibly, and the probability is, you know, pretty high based upon how old the dam is and where they're repairing it, where they're not repairing it. The Department of Water Resources has been doing nothing but lying to all of us. And I'm not being a fearmonger here. I'm being realistic. You know, that's one of the things we get told. So you're just a fearmonger. Well, yeah, you know, as I sat in my house on the 12th of February and realizing that, you know, the Department of Water Resources had 1 hour, but 1 hour before the dam was going to come apart and the sheriff stepped in, I have a little bit of paranoia to think about it. I could have been sitting under, you know, 24 feet of water.
You think?
Everything wiped out, and myself and another million people were dead. Now, I just got a problem with that. So, yeah, fear monger, whatever you want to call me, I don't really care. The point is that they're not everybody and their mother in the dam world is saying they're doing everything wrong. I believe them. I really don't believe these people that almost murdered me and a million people on the night of February 12th. I just don't really have any confidence in what they tell me. So this dam is at risk. And, of course, the big thing about this dam coming down, number one, Jerry Brown wants to take down dams. He's pledged to do that. He brings in Bruce Babbitt, the former Interior Secretary, who sat there and, you know, thought this whole thing through. The whole came up with a plan of tearing down dams all throughout the Western United States. And then, on top of that, as part of this whole thing that happened with the dam, we find out that they have ADMs, atomic demolition munitions, in the dam, and that they actually packed those out with a lot of equipment that were nuclear in nature underneath the dam. You can't make it up. You just can't make this scenario up. So it's tied together, yeah, and of course it has a lot, almost everything to do with water. That's really what it's got to do in the long run. And
it does.
The plan for what's called water banking, which is a paper water processing system. So that's really what it is, kind of like a carb system and land banking and things like that.
I got to get to this question, and the question is this. If Oroville Dam breaks, in your opinion, is that the end of the Jefferson movement?
I would say yes, absolutely.
And from where I sit, if the Oroville Dam breaks, it helps Calexit because they can say, see, federal government, no good. They weren't here to help. We need to be our own country.
And that's why I started out so strongly that people understand that this movement and the Jefferson movement as well is all about getting away from Jerry Brown. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, this dam is not a federal dam. It's a California dam. It was built by California funds. It was actually built by Edmund G. Brown, Jerry Brown's dad. He's the one who put all the plans together. He did a lot of contracting in the 50s and so on. Worked with Nancy Pelosi's dad, by the way. And you can't say the Pelosi's aren't involved with this. Sure, Paul Pelosi's really involved with all this stuff. So the planning for this was done by the Pelosi's and by the Browns back in the 50s and 60s. They built the dam, and they built the dam really doing some really improper techniques with concrete and things like that, and also the non-fractured rock that they used. But that's beside the point. The bigger point is they didn't maintain the dam, especially since Jerry Brown over the last 8 years. He hasn't spent a dime on maintaining the dam, which is, of course, then you start looking at it like, what? And report after report after report has come in about the dangers at the dam, yet it was ignored by Jerry Brown for years until this event happened. And now it's focused on, by the way, we're still wondering when Jerry Brown is going to make an official state visit to the dam. He's not made one. You'd think he'd come out and show support for the people around here, and he hasn't done it. He made a secret visit on February 22nd. Secret.
He's busy. He's looking for Linda Ronstadt.
He's looking for snakes. But
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have gone there. But listen, I totally agree with you. And you mentioned Nancy Pelosi involved in this. Can you imagine if she was in charge of this? She'd say, "Well, we got to let the dam break to see what's in it."
That's right. That's exactly the
mentality. Yeah, the Pelosi Mafia. They're an interesting group. And that would be another story for another show. But so the dam breaks. And what you've told me before on the show is 25% of the retail crosses California, and it wouldn't cross the flooded highways.
Right.
And so we would have just-in-time delivery stop, and people better hope they have their Numana food at that time, and gold guns, water, and ammo, and medicine. And that you'll have famines result because of this rich agricultural area that'll be dead to the world. And, Paul, we look at this. Everything favors on the side of George Soros and his true goal of Calexit,
right,
that the dam is going to break, and this could be the impetus. This is the false flag, and this is why you and I get jumped on so hard whenever we talk about this.
Yeah, and this is a real possibility. Now, I'm not too sure they have figured out a way to actually articulate with the federal government, if in fact the dam goes, that they're going to be the ones that are shouldering the responsibility, the federal government, for the dam, and they're not. And of course, we're going to be out there telling everybody Jerry Brown is negligent here. In fact, there's a huge lawsuit that's coming up for people. It's going to be filed, I think, tomorrow, on Monday, against the Department of Water Resources and Jerry Brown for their negligent behavior about the dam, which is great. Huge class action lawsuit. A lot of other things are happening in the courts that are going to be bringing a lot of attention to this. But I'm not sure they have thought through what they have thought through clearly what they intend to do if, in fact, the dam does go, but we preserve life and we Californians and everybody else around the nation rush in to help out. Because, you know, they've got a lot of plans. They've got their, you know, international connections and so on that they would like to see to make sure that the state separates and forms, secedes from the nation. But I'm not too sure they have thought that plan out right now. I'm really not too sure. I think that they're thinking that they're going to try and do it bureaucratically by this proposition that they're trying to get enough signatures for on the ballot for 2018. Which, of course, has been, you have a secessionist document allowed by Javier Basada, a trained Jesuit from the University of Salamanca. Go figure. I mean, this is heavy, heavy training. He's allowed this whole proposition to go through and just sort of wink, wink, nod, nod. Oh, yeah, we'll let him right through. And so, you know, they've got to gather 585,000. The problem is this whole notion is illegal. Why is he allowing that to go through? Well, you know, probably because, you know, Jerry Brown will probably work it out with the president, Donald Trump. And
no.
That's what they're trying.
No, 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 no. Here's my scenario. Calexit is there. Jefferson's failing because of this lawsuit and this splinter group, as I call them. And then the dam goes. And now it's Trump's fault. He's
right.
A racist because
right.
Brown lives don't matter. And what they'll do is they'll champion all the Latino people that are swept away. And it'd be a great tragedy for anyone to be swept away. Don't hear me being sarcastic on that point. But they'll turn it into a racist issue. And they'll turn it back on Trump, and they'll galvanize their people and say, we need to be out. And, Paul, you came on this show back in November, December of last year, and you said you had an embedded source that said that these cartel gang members said, if we can't get out of the United States peacefully, we'll just start killing white people at public gatherings.
That's,
that's when this will start.
That's right. And you can see with the whole thing, you can see the setup happening with what happened yesterday. You know, it actually happened at Berkeley and so on when you had these clashes that were starting to develop, and you had a clash yesterday that was based upon Robert E. Lee, basically, as the figurehead in the South. And, of course, I find it very interesting that it happens in Virginia, which, of course, it was West Virginia that broke away and became part of the North at the time when Virginia seceded from the United States during the Confederacy, and that prompted the Civil War. I find it very, very interesting. And then the other part of that is Robert E. Lee fought courageously and was a main player in the Mexican-American War, which ultimately yielded the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo. I mean, we can't make it this script up. This is the, I mean, the symbolism is all over that one yesterday. But, you know, what happened yesterday was a complete false flag. This thing was completely managed and set up, and people are, it's really funny. Our listeners, and I'm sure you're getting the same thing, Dave, they are so conditioned to this now because they saw the same kind of operation how many times with Obama? I mean, Orlando, hello.
Yeah.
That's just a classic example. The shootout where was it? Oh, at the church down there. And, you know, they caught the guy, which is kind of interesting, and they caught this guy, which was kind of a kid about the same age, they say, in the military for about 3 or 4 months in the U.S. Army. Oh, by the way, I just love it when instantaneously you go right to the computer, you hear it on TV, and you draw it right up, and they've got a complete expose of this guy's background. Wow. That must be for the consumption of guys like you and me, Dave. Where did they get that so quickly? I mean, it's completely laid out with all the different documents. And I mean, somebody, listen, guys, we get it out there, deep staters. It takes somebody a long time to set that little page up with all the different links about where to go to get this information out. So we're not biting on that. This is more convincing evidence that what this was a false flag operation. And people did die, and people were injured badly. But, you know, it gets into the things, too. You take a look at what happened in Dallas. It was a Black Lives Matter thing. And this was supposed to be a protest at Antifa and Black Lives Matter rap. Where is the governor of Virginia on that? Where is the governor denouncing the violence of those people? And what happened in Dallas with Black Lives Matter? Remember, they changed, they got a modified marching or a parade route, and the marching parade route for the march led them into a box canyon, literally, in the buildings, and that's where the shooting took place of all those police officers. That was a black flag, you know, or the Black Lives Matter situation.
I know.
Are we talking about that? No. We're talking about, supposedly, Donald Trump did not come out as quickly as he should have and denounced white supremacy, which this wasn't really. I mix it up with these people. I've mixed it up with these guys. I've been out there. I've been pushed and shoved and all this other crap with these ass jerks. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we are live radio here.
Yeah, I know.
Don't have that beep.
My life has been threatened many, many times. I've been called, you know, wait, though, and I've been called all the things. We're going to kill you, you white people, you know, that all that crap. I've been through there, but this is a different breed of people that were coming back in terms of the white folks that were pushing back. And I think that needs to be recognized. Why are these white people all of a sudden saying, wait a minute, this is not an even playing field for everybody? And they've got that. These are not white supremacists. These are not, there were some out there. And I don't support any of this. I don't support any of this violence. I was saying, when this started happening in Berkeley months ago, we got these characters like Base Stickman out there. You know, I was saying it was wrong then, because they were trying to set the bait to get people like Trump supporters engaged with rioters that would create violence. And they did. They took the bait, and this is what happened yesterday. And they set the car up to, the guy drove into all those people on purpose. And there's a whole history that goes on, and I'll have it all for my show tomorrow. I'm not too prepared right now, but it's pretty obvious what happened here. Pretty obvious.
Yeah, that's, it is real obvious, and it was just too well orchestrated, too organized. It was like two armies that had prepared for battle. They came ready to go.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
By the way, the listening audience, Joe Hagman's email still haven't arrived. Anyway, he wanted to send me a video about the driver. And he tried to send it 40 minutes after the hour in the first hour, and then about 10 minutes before the hour was over, and they still haven't arrived. Thank you, NSA. But anyway, Paul, the bottom line is with all this, I mean, we've talked about Oroville ad nauseum, and people have kind of, some people have lost their patience with this because it hasn't already happened. My answer is, it's going to happen at a time of their convenience. Paul,
right.
We've got to scoot. We're out of time, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us for this very informative hour. And sorry, USOJ people, you are AWOL. See you in hour number 3.